Is Eugene there?
Yes.
Oh, God. Well, we better get to him. God knows what. He may have to take pens back to the Marriott. He has things to do.
He doesn't stay. Eugene doesn't stay at Marriott's. He's kind of a Ritz guy.
Well, wait a minute.
He stays at the Ritz.
Here's the owner of the Ottawa Senators, Eugene Melnyk. You ever go to the Marriott?
I just stayed at the Marriott at the airport.
See, John?
In Toronto.
There you go.
Oh, really?
In Toronto.
And what did you do with the pen in the room, Eugene?
Did you take the pen?
I took it. It's actually really nice.
Attaboy. Attaboy. That's what we talked about.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, your team's doing okay, huh? A little sweat last night, but that's all right.
Yeah, we're in Boston now, getting ready to get back. But, yeah, we had a great game last night. We thought that we played really, really hard. It was close. You know, pretty tough. You know, the fans here are pretty brutal.
Are you still in Boston?
Yeah, had work to do here, too.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah, coming back and getting ready for tomorrow night, the big night for us. So we're going to have quite the time. And I think, we're hoping to play strong and hope everybody gets a little more healthier and that we're competitive.
I don't know if it was the last time or the second last time I had you on the program. I don't remember if John was here or not, but you talked about telling your general manager, you know, do whatever you need to do.
Yeah, that was the trade deadline, just before trade deadline.
Yeah. I guess you got to be happy with the tweaking that took place. But did you see something that, quite frankly, Eugene, the rest of us didn't see in your team?
Well, I had the injury reports that I always get. And, at any one time, we kept getting these nagging injuries. You know, you had one guy out. You know, we had a couple of tragedies as well that the team overcame. You know, Craig Anderson's wife was
situation.
Diagnosed with cancer, and rightly he took the time off to be with her for a few months, and we survived that with some great goaltending from the backups, and then Clark MacArthur came out of nowhere to decide that he can play, and he passed all of the testing, and it was very, very rigorous testing that we had to do on the guy because he'd been out of the hockey for almost 2 years.
Right.
And he comes back. We had Carlson then get hurt. Then we had Mathot's finger sliced and sliced off.
Mm-hmm.
And, so there was a whole bunch of stuff, and now we're finally getting back to where we almost have a full roster. You're never going to get a full one. But people are all healing, and we're only going to get better as time goes on. So getting through this series, if we can win this, I think we're going to be very strong towards the second and third rounds.
I'll tell you what, Eugene, you've been around the game as long as any of us, as a fan, as an owner, junior hockey operator, whatever. I don't think I've ever seen a player dominate a series in the last two decades as much as I've seen Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, you got to almost go back. I hate to do this, but you got to go back to Wayne almost.
I think I would even go at Erik's position. I may go back to Bobby Orr.
You know what? Yes. I mean, you're just killing my salary cap, but it's, you've got to say that. It's the guy's phenomenal, and the man is hurt, and it's just phenomenal how well he's doing, how he's just will grin and bear it and go out and play as much as he can, as well as he can. But he's getting better too.
Yeah.
I think it's at 75% now, but God watch him when he's at 100%. He still pumps up the team. You've got some veterans in there now as well. You've got MacArthur in there. Chris Kelly was brought in. You got Phaneuf in there pumping everybody up. So, we've got some young players that need that desperately. And when you see all that come together, you start daydreaming about, all sorts of things. So we're just lucky day to day to make sure that we don't get any major injuries and that we can continue on grinding it out. And that's what all these series, if you look at them all, none of them are, total blowouts.
No.
Everything is a grind. Everything is down to, the final minute. Anything can happen. And it's nerve-wracking and exhausting. And I'm just sitting in the stands. Never mind these guys.
When Daniel left and you guys decided to make Erik the captain, I must admit, I, I think I was in a group of people, a large group, that doubted that he should be the captain maybe that quickly. But he truly has become a captain of this team, hasn't he?
He has matured a hell of a lot. He now takes leadership much more seriously than anyone else. He really, you know, it's taken some time to get, you know, recognition that, you know, he really is responsible, and it is his team that he has to fire up. And you see that on the bench, him yelling at others and stuff. That's all good. But then again, look, you go back to Toronto. Look, what's this Austin Matthews all of a sudden captain?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you never know what these guys. At the time when Carlson was named captain, we were in the meeting with him and basically asked he was asked, are you ready to be the captain? Because we don't think so. And he made his case, and you know, we've let him take a shot at it. And once a captain is appointed, it's tough to take it back. So you better be sure that this guy can mature into it, and he certainly has now as a leader.
Another guy who's kind of revitalized his career. I don't know. That's probably an overstatement. Bobby Ryan has played well, and kind of come out of nowhere. I'd have to think you were a little disappointed in Ryan's overall play since you acquired him overall, and yet he has jumped out in this series, boy, as a star.
Well, you know, you got to go back to who he is and who he was, and you know, when he came out of the juniors, this guy was a superstar, and he had big people had big plans for him.
Oh yeah,
and it did. Then it took a turn downwards for a little bit. We acquired him. He was all ready to go, hot. He just, you know, went through some personal issues and all sorts of, you know, typical hockey stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then he had a significant death in his family, his mother. And, you know, it ends up that now all of a sudden I think his injuries are gone. His mental state is at 150%. And he's just playing what everybody expected him to play 5-6 years ago. He is now what we were hoping for when we acquired him. So it doesn't surprise us, yet it does surprise us.
Well, let's also remember that he was, correct me if I'm wrong, he was the guy picked after Sidney Crosby.
He was number two.
Yeah.
So you're not getting Sidney right now.
No.
Imagine that. He was right behind him, and it was a flip of a coin back then.
Yeah, and when you hired Guy Boucher, I think there's a lot of people that would have suggested of all the players on your roster, Bobby would have had a more difficult time playing for Guy than anybody else, because Bobby's a freelancer. He believes in doing the offensive stuff, and Guy's so much a structure guy. I mean, you've seen in the corporate world, when you have a new executive and you have a solid employee, it takes time for those two guys to bond.
Yes, it absolutely does. And I think that, you know, everybody else has bought into Guy's program, his structure, the way to play the game properly, and they've seen that it actually does work. It's not the most exciting hockey. This almost reminds me of the New Jersey team that won the Stanley Cup. They were not exciting. They were boring, but they won. It's like Buckley's cough syrup, you know? It tastes like hell, but it works. In this case, you have a guy freewheeling, and that was his style, and then to bring him down into a structured environment, it takes time. But once it clicks, you've got a very powerful player, and that's what we're starting to see with Bobby right now.
When did you take an equity position with Buckley's, I'd like to know?
Yeah, I'm trying, but...
clearly.
It does work. So I'm very happy with the way the team's going. I predicted, if you remember, maybe go back just under a year ago at the end of last season, I told you about what I thought about the Leafs. And, I said, I think they're going to be very competitive. Everybody kind of opened up their eyes and said, yeah. And sure enough, you know, they're coming forward. They're playing, you know, seriously good hockey. And, I think our team is very competitive this year as well. So, and you know, in this part of the season, you know, once you get past the first round, anything can happen in the next three rounds. Anything.
Yeah.
So we just have these daydreams, and we hope that it works out, and we'll just keep grinding.
With the owner of the Senators, Eugene Melnyk, I got to ask you this: you know, with the exception, perhaps, certainly, of the Toronto Washington series, maybe one others, most of these games like yours, have been very low scoring, very close to the vest, very competitive. But you could argue whether they were entertaining or not. And we are constantly wondering what the NHL sees in these games. And it they don't seem to have a commitment to try and make it a little bit more open and a little bit more competitive and a little bit more high scoring. Do you have a take on this? When you watch your team play, do you only care whether they win or lose and couldn't care less about the entertainment value?
Oh, that's a tough question. You jumped all over the place. You went from NHL to what I think.
Well, I want to know. I mean, I'm not interested in what the NHL thinks. I because they don't seem to react, Eugene, to the notion.
Yeah, they but they do. Why? Listen, you know me. I don't defend them that much.
No, I know you don't.
This case, they've done everything they can to get it higher scoring. Just the teams come up with ways how to make it not higher scoring and make. There's a big risk when you go into a game. And there's various schools of thoughts, you know, on this with some very serious hockey players that say, hey, you know, our best way to win is just plow out offense. Mm-hmm. The hell with the back. Just put, I don't care, put four forwards out there and score. And hopefully you get seven, they get five and you win the game. Others, you know, like Guy has a style that says, no, we'll wait for them to make a mistake, be opportunistic, jump in and try to score one goal and then protect. From my perspective, as a fan, I'd want the 7-5 game.
Yeah.
But from a winning, it's proven with the systems that they have in place for the defensive game, wins games. They're exciting in that they're nerve-wracking, but, you know, it's a lot more fun seeing 8-10 goals a game. But I'll take the win any time over an entertaining loss.
So let me put you on the spot, as I rarely do, as you know.
Yes.
So a proposal comes down. This is purely hypothesis. A proposal comes down. We're going to widen the nets by 6 inches, and we're going to make them 3 inches higher, and there's going to be lots more scoring. Would you vote for it? Well,
I honestly can't answer that.
Well, how much do you like scoring?
I'd have to sit there and say, well, how does Anderson play?
You see? Yeah.
Well, I'd get very personal about that.
And if you had somebody with your team next year that's going to be in Belleville that weighed 600 pounds and played goal, you'd love it.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, they see. But then,
you know what? You're getting into a game that's almost like lacrosse.
Yeah.
With the big net and they're scoring, it's 10-8 and stuff. I don't know. I think it's, and on the other extreme, you've got a soccer game that everybody's excited about that ends up in 0-0.
Yeah.
So,
I think your team in this series alone has proved it can play more than one way. You know, you take a look at game two where you're down, you know, 3-1 and you come back and win. And then what happened in game three when you're up 3-0 and still win. You know, to me, I think the simplicity that it's, you know, Guy's boring format. I think the fact that with the players you have, you can play multiple ways.
So. Well, they got talent.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, how's our pal Anselmi doing?
He's doing all right. He's busy. He couldn't even make it out here to Boston for the game because he's got a whole bunch of stuff he's got to do today. He couldn't afford getting in at 2 a.m. But he's doing fine. We've got a lot of work to do, a lot of restructuring and stuff like that. And we're now working on LeBreton and those negotiations. So he's zipping around. He's busy. We got him busy.
We would be remiss if we didn't congratulate you on your latest award accomplishment. In addition to being a businessman and a sports team owner, you have been a racetrack breeder and owner, 12 Sovereign Awards, and now a member of the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame. Whoa. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's kind of came out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it, and somebody said, hey, you're nominated. And then when I won, you know, I got the big call, and it's quite an honor. I think it's August 9th. Somewhere in the summer, they have the big induction, and it's nice to be recognized for it. It's not something I expected, but it's always nice to get, and I'm looking forward to being inducted.
Just for fun, 62 graded stakes winners. Got a favorite horse? Have you got a favorite horse? Have you got a favorite horse? One that you've owned that was always kind of your...
I've got about three or four. The first one that I ever bought, believe it or not, in 1998, ended up winning, as a yearling, ended up winning the Queen's Plate, and that got me hooked. Mm. I mean, the very first yearling I ever bought went on and won the Queen's Plate. And that would be good. That's Archer's Bay. He died, though, as a stallion in the first year, which was kind of sad.
Oh, dear, yeah.
From colic. And then Spitesdown, who won the Horse of the Year.
Yep.
And ended up Sprinter of the Year in the Breeders' Cup, won the Breeders' Cup. That was huge. I had a filly that won the Triple Tiara in Canada, which was huge as well. That was Seeley Hill, Horse of the Year, Sovereign Award winner, you name it. She won it. And that would be, my top three or four.
Are you, I mean, I've never been with you to the track when you're around your own horses. Are you hands-on? Do you like to go down and pet them? Do they know who you are? I mean, you know, in a general
well,
sense.
You know what?
Is it like a pet?
You know what? I basically dispersed most of my stock about 3 years ago I started.
Yeah.
Just because I just simply didn't have the time anymore. I had over six, at one point I had 600 horses.
Holy cow.
I mean, you couldn't, I'd have walked around with a computer just to keep track of who they were. So I cut that down substantially, and now I'm only down to like half a dozen if that horses. So it's, one of them just keeps on kicking. It's Duke's Alley, just won a big stakes race in Florida. And, but I'm down to only a couple that are racing now. So it's kind of wound down. So the recognition's very nice at the end of the career, but you know, I won so much stuff that it was so much fun. Don't let anybody ever tell you make money in the horse racing business, unless you're a trainer. It's a tough game, and the victories are far and few between. But when you do, it's the greatest thrill.
How is your donor program going?
You know, we sold out our first. We had a huge gala. Everybody said, "No, you can never do it." Pulled it off in 6 weeks. It was one of the great people said that, and people that are regulars said it was the best gala they've ever been to. I had Carrie Underwood there. We premiered four commercials that are now running on television stations in Ottawa, some in Toronto and across Canada. And we raised a lot of money for all four, putting it right back into raising awareness and getting people signed up to register a donation of their organs upon death. And that's at theorganproject.net. It tells you everything about it. We actually crashed a program last weekend when we started running at the Sens game. We started running ads and across Ottawa, and you know, a lot of hype around it. We gave out all sorts of things at the game itself, ran ads at the game itself. And again, if you go to theorganproject.net, you can. You can register, read all about what it takes to donate organs, and it saves many, many, many lives, and I'm proud of it.
You should be. We congratulate you on your team success, on your election into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame, and just for being one of our friends. So thanks, Eugene, and we'll good luck. We'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Yeah, all the best to everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, pal. Eugene Melnick, owner of the Ottawa Senators.